Hey, Money Buddies, Skylar here, and I'm interrupting your regularly scheduled weekly programming with a few bonus episodes this week because I'm launching a brand new podcast called Financial Planning for Young Adults, and the first 5 episodes are available right now. I'm going to be releasing them on this feed as well to give you a taste of my brand new show. If you've been following Money Talk, you know that I'm all about making personal finance simple, actionable, and honestly way less intimidating than the industry makes it out to be. And this new show takes that approach and dials it up specifically for young adults in their 20s or early 30s who feel like they should have this whole money thing figured out by now and want to get it under control. Here's what we're launching my brand new show with. Episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. Before you can build any sort of financial plan, you need to know why money matters to you. Episode 2 is I Made My Wife Cry About Money. Yes, that's not clickbait. It's a real story about how my perfectly optimized spreadsheet brought my wife to tears, and you're going to enjoy the story behind that one. Episode 3 is how to build a financial plan in your 20s, and this is where I break down the actual framework. What do you need to focus on right now versus what can wait? And I cut through all the noise and complexity to give you a clear roadmap. Episode 4 is estate planning is simple and easy. And I know that estate planning sounds like something that's for rich old people, but here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have some basic estate planning in place, even if you're only 18 years old. And I'm going to show you how to get 80% of it done, and maybe even all of it done for absolutely free. You're going to love that episode. And then episode 5 of my launch day extravaganza is enjoy spending money with buckets and sinking funds. And this one is about how to actually enjoy spending money without guilt. I'm going to share how my wife and I use sinking funds for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm going to show you an easy way to use buckets to reconsider budgeting. And all 5 of these episodes are live and available right now in whatever podcast app you're using. So just search Financial Planning for Young Adults or check the link in the very top of the show notes. And these aren't your parents' boring financial lectures. Every episode is story-driven and practical, and I'm designing these all to help you take action every single week, not someday when you have enough money or when you get around to it. So please, search Financial Planning for Young Adults, subscribe, and binge those first 5 episodes, and please let me know what you think. Drop a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email at fpyapod@gmail.com. And if you would also please leave a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm building this show for each and every one of you, Money Buddies, so your feedback matters. So let's get into this special bonus episode from Financial Planning for Young Adults. Money Talk will be back on Thursday with yet another great Money Talk. So enjoy, Money Buddies. We just got back home from a 12-day vacation, and it's time for the moment of truth. How much money did we spend? We were feeling guilty knowing that we likely spent a lot of money. But you know what? I didn't care. Why did I not care? We just got back from our trip in Hawaii. We spent roughly $7,000 on this trip. And after I put in all the numbers, I didn't really care. Why did I not care? Well, it was aligned with our values. We were able to get way more enjoyment out of that money than we would have been able to any other way that we could have figured out to spend $7,000. And believe me, we could have figured out some crazy ways to spend $7,000. Like I'm sure so many of you have, and you realize I'm not quite sure why I spent that money in the way that I spent it. Why were we able to get so much value out of this trip? Well, we spent years planning it. We talked to others about this trip. We talked to others about Hawaii and enjoyed sharing their memories and listening to their stories. So why do you do what you do with money? Well, today we're going to craft just that today. We're going to craft your why and help you understand how to drive real change with your money so that you can finally feel satisfied with your personal finances. So let's lay out the situation and start in a pretty common place when we talk about why-based discussions. We're going to start with Simon Sinek's Start With Why. And the link will be in the show notes to the TED Talk. But that talk, it's really for business people trying to sell stuff. That's kind of the approach that he takes to teach you about it. But what if we dove into it from a money place? What if we drove our money on the start with why idea? You have to buy into your financial plan if you can find a true purpose and really understand a meaningful why behind your whole thing that you're building with money. It's going to make it stick a whole lot more. In the golden circle that Simon Sinek talks about with the why, how, and what, the what is retirement. The what is financial independence. The what is saving 10%. The why is going on big trips with family. The why is being able to enjoy hiking at 45 instead of not being able to hike at all at 65 and never being able to enjoy those hikes because you missed the moment where you could actually do it. So start in the center of Simon Sinek's golden circle and understand why you're doing what you're doing with your money. Today's case study is going to help drive this home in a really big way because so often we feel like we're doing great with our money, but something still feels lacking. I know for me and my wife, there's been many instances where we're like, yeah, we are rocking it with our personal finances, but for some reason, it's just not clicking. It just doesn't feel quite right. We might be saving 10, 20, or 30% of our income, yet we still feel so empty with our money. We still feel like there's no real purpose behind it. So now that you understand what we're working with and why building this why can be so important, how do you craft this? How do you craft this so that your goals and desires align with your values and your purpose and what you want to do with your money? Is your goal a what or a why? Let's go back to that specific example of the time my wife and I really honed in on our why. Our why with that trip to Hawaii was that we wanted to enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime trip to celebrate my wife's accomplishment of graduating PA school. It drove how we saved each month. It drove what we did with our money, very specifically because we wanted to make sure we had enough to go on this trip and that the money was in a safe place that it could grow. We didn't necessarily want it to be invested for the long term, so we made sure we put it in a CD where it was still going to be able to earn a comfortable amount of interest, but not necessarily be at risk. So that's how our why of enjoying this once-in-a-lifetime trip impacted some of our goals there. And here's some ways to consider your why at a much deeper level. I got three questions here for you. These come from George Kinder's three questions that are going to help you really think, and hopefully these will drive some real strong emotion for you. The first one is, if you had all the money you needed, how would you live your life? The second one is, if you had 5 to 10 years to live, what would you do differently? The third one, and this is the powerful one, if you had 24 hours to live, what would you regret? Because 24 hours isn't enough time to do all those things that you want to do. 5 to 10 years is enough time to be able to do what you want to do. But what would you feel right now if you only had 24 hours to live? And if you were told that it was going to happen exactly 24 hours from now, what would you look back and reflect on and potentially regret doing? Since this is a money show as well, and money is an object we need to consider, if you had all the money you needed, how would you live your life? Now, let's be realistic. We don't have all the money we could ever need. So what do you need to do to bring your life now a little bit closer to what you're thinking you would do if money was no object? That is how we're going to find our why. What is that point where you would get to if money was no object? Now, let's slowly start working towards that. How can you get a little bit closer to that idea today? You've now figured out where you would get to if money was no object, but what gets in the way of this? Well, there's four things that I want to talk about today, and these are called our money scripts. Brad Klontz has done a ton of research in this area, and as I was doing research for this episode, I came across money scripts. I've done some work on these in my financial planning education course, and of course, the link in the show notes will take you to Brad Klontz money scripts test. So be sure to go and take that and let me know your results. I'd love to chat with them on the podcast or even just shoot some emails back and forth. Coined by Dr. Brad Klontz, a financial psychologist, a money script is an unconscious belief about money, typically learned early in life, and that is a key component, that drives much of our financial behavior as adults. There's four main ones, and I want to take a second to talk about each of them: avoidance, worship, status, and vigilance. Knowing these scripts early is going to help you know what is getting in the way of your money, and it's going to help you break free from it just by knowing it. That's going to be a huge step. Let's talk about status for a second. Are you using money as a status symbol? Are you using money to purchase status symbols, and that's keeping you from your money or keeping you from enjoying the goals that you really want to live? Now that you're at least aware of that, you can begin to break it down. When you notice that you're doing something that is aligned with that money status script, now you can take a step back, pause, put in things like the 24-hour rule or an Amazon cart day or a Walmart cart day, depending on where you like to shop. But consider a way that you can take a second and pause, because once you're aware of the money script, that's going to put you miles ahead of so many other people. Let's talk about money avoidance for a second. This is a really interesting one. Are you putting yourself in a situation where maybe you're avoiding getting a higher paying job, you're avoiding taking a promotion, you're avoiding going back to school and getting the education that you know you need in order to make more money? Are you doing all this because you're scared of money? Because you think money turns people evil? Are you doing it because you're afraid of having more money and the responsibility that comes with that? Are you avoiding money? That's a really interesting one to think about, because if you're in a situation like that, that can be one where if you overcome that money script, money's just going to begin coming into your life, and money's going to begin to come a whole lot easier to you, because I know it can be scary to take on that extra responsibility of having a higher income or a more responsible job. But if you're able to overcome this money script, you could find yourself in a situation where you're able to spend better with your values. You're able to spend better with your why. Perhaps your why is to be able to use your money to give back. But if you're avoiding money, how are you going to be able to achieve that without constantly feeling like you're running yourself dry and not being able to truly enjoy the money that you're making, because all of it has to go towards your bills? Because you're avoiding making more money because you're worried it might make you evil, or you're worried that that money might scare off your friends and family. Avoidance is a really fun money script to talk about. And if you're interested more in these money scripts, be sure to head over to the link in the show notes and take the money script test. It'll be really insightful for you, I promise. I want to talk a little bit about my own money scripts. I am actually way too money vigilant. And of course, you're probably not surprised. I host a podcast. I am a financial planner, financial coach. I have spreadsheets up the wazoo for our own personal finances, but this can cause me to be too money vigilant. I have our spreadsheets tracked down to the penny, and they have been exactly one penny off before. Now you're probably saying, who cares? Like, why would I bother with a spreadsheet being a penny off? And this is also a great reason to use tools that aggregate all your accounts into one place so that you don't have to worry about this so much. I had typed in, I believe it was a credit card payment or something like that, I had typed in the last digit wrong. So it was off by exactly one penny. And I spent hours trying to find why it was off by a penny. Was it off by a penny because of multiple charges were incorrect? Was it off by a penny because of one charge being typed in incorrectly? I did eventually find it, of course, and my spreadsheet is still perfect to this day. But from time to time, I'll still have transactions that throw it off just a little bit. And that drives me crazy. So I understand that these money scripts can be an area that you may want to improve. Now, vigilance, I am going to have a tough time getting over that one. And I hope whatever money script aligned with you the most, or after you took the test and you noticed some that really hit home with you that you need to work on, I really hope you're able to improve, because perhaps you want to not avoid money. Maybe you don't want to worship money or care so much about it. Maybe you don't want to use your money as a status symbol. Maybe you want to care less about money and not be so vigilant and uptight about tracking every single penny. Whichever one it is, I know you can do better in that area. And if you need help, please let me know. I'm happy to be your accountability partner, but we can do it together. As we overcome these money scripts, things are going to get better for our money, and we'll be able to craft that why a whole lot easier. I do want to bring some research into this to help you understand our thought process and what the average millennial, Gen Z, or young adult thinks about money and our mindset around our money and goals. A couple quick stats here that you can see on screen. 73% of millennials value experiences over material possessions. 89% of Gen Z and millennials say financial goals are tied to personal goals. And 76% of younger generations define success by financial independence, not wealth accumulation. Which I think that last one is a phenomenal stat. That's actually really exciting. I want to talk about these a little bit more. What does each one of them mean? Well, having something have a higher value over material possessions can really help you find your true why that's going to light you up. Because let's be honest, nobody really gets lit up or excited thinking about all the crap that you can buy off Amazon. Let's be honest, that's not your why. At least I hope it's not, because I know there's things that are way more valuable out there than just the standard status quo of consumerism. I was on Amazon earlier today and I saw they were having some sort of deal where their Amazon haul section was having a one penny sale. And as I scrolled through it, it was just garbage. It was just flat out useless stuff that you could buy for a penny. Now, if your why is purchasing things and purchasing stuff on Amazon, I would really challenge that and say, what of those items is bringing you enjoyment? Not just the act of purchasing them, but let's get back on topic here. What do you truly value? The first data point that I shared suggests that we're working towards recognizing we really value experiences over material possessions, because an experience is going to more likely align with a true why and a true value. Now, your financial goals in the second point being tied to personal goals, I think that's great, because your financial goals don't need to be tied to some big number. They can be tied to a personal goal like going on a trip, spending time with family, or like the case study that we're going to talk about here real soon, Maybe it's buying a house near your family. Maybe that is your goal. The third point here is that going after financial independence means that we have an understanding of what it really is. Whereas financial independence is more about lifestyle and values. And going after financial independence instead of just wealth accumulation means you're chasing those values that really mean something to you. So keep going after financial independence. Do some work to understand what it truly means to you. And here's a fun hint that my wife and I are working on. Little side story here. Coast FI, Coast Financial Independence, is going to change your view on saving for retirement, because true financial independence, retire early, can seem like such a slog, and it can seem like it's going to take forever and that you may never get there, because 25 times our annual expenses can be a really big number. Are you just chasing a big number for the sake of financial independence, or are you chasing it for the freedom that it's going to bring? And here's a hint, Coast FI or Coast Financial Independence can actually bring that number down a lot, because it allows you to get to a point where you don't have to invest any more money, because it's going to grow to what you need by a predetermined retirement date. And then you can spend all the money you make. How fun does that sound? If you feel like financial independence, retire early, is way too far out there, or you're just chasing some big number that you don't truly feel connected to, look up Coast Financial Independence. I guarantee it's going to flip a light switch for you like it did for my wife and I. Now, Coast Financial Independence was just one way that my wife and I changed and were able to figure out our why and our values a whole lot more. We're able to figure out that one of our values is not working so much. It's not necessarily not working, but it's being able to have the freedom to maybe go part-time or reduce our hours. So how do we change and begin to figure out our values? For Rebecca and I, we double down on what we enjoy. We go on camping trips. We go on fun trips. We save and make sure to put money aside for vacation and recreation. Now, we also ruthlessly cut away at the things that we don't enjoy. And that means we're able to enjoy what we want and get rid of the things that don't really bring us value. We really don't enjoy spending money on stuff, so we have our Amazon cart day to limit that. And 9 times out of 10, things are gone out of the cart. We just forget about them and delete them later because we don't really need them. The key thing here is automation. We regularly save for vacation on our recreation buckets, budget categories, or sinking funds, whatever you like to call them. We regularly save for these, and then when we have to spend big amounts of money, like $7,000 to go to Hawaii, it is not as big of a deal because that's been working in the background. We've been cutting other expenses to put money into these vacation funds, and life is a whole lot better because we're able to enjoy our purpose and our why. Another story to help drive this home and changing your financial situation to match your why, I got a set of listeners here, Lance and Alyssa. Their why is centered around community connections. They realized they were spending $400+ on random Amazon purchases. Meanwhile, they kept turning down friend activities they were being invited to due to budget constraints. It wasn't in the budget, but they were spending $400 a month on random Amazon garbage. After tracking their spending for 3 months and just looking back at what they had been spending, they discovered this consumption behavior that they wanted to kill. They wanted to get rid of that random Amazon spending. So they implemented a new system. $200 a month would automatically go towards their friendship fund or their friendship bucket, whatever you want to call it. That began to help them start aligning their spending with their values. And they reduced their Amazon budget to $100. Now there's still an extra $100 in there that they can save to go towards maybe they do need to buy something on Amazon, or maybe they want to spend more with their friends. So now they're able to host a monthly dinner party and invite friends over or join friends on those random events and activities without it being not in the budget. You just need to look at your spending, figure out how you can adjust and change to match your values. For Lance and Alyssa, their satisfaction with spending money has increased dramatically, even though their total that they're spending has decreased slightly. They are way happier with how they're spending money, and now they even have some extra to save for a future goal that they may not know what it is right now. So just like Lance and Alyssa, what is the end result? Increased mindfulness, greater satisfaction through intentional financial choices, reduced financial stress and anxiety, stronger motivation, more intentionality, and more willingness to approach your money and be proactive about what you're spending on. It's easier to make trade-offs when your why is clear. Financial decisions become much less about money and much more about the life that you want to live. Now, who doesn't want to enjoy all those things? Who doesn't want to be able to have an easier time talking about money? Who doesn't want an easier time spending money? I know I do. I'm not huge on spending money, but when I do spend it, if it aligns with our values and our why, it really hits home and is a whole lot more powerful. I'm sure for Lance and Alyssa, being able to spend time with their friends and host a monthly dinner party, even if it's expensive, does not matter because they're able to enjoy it. And it really aligns with what they want to do with their personal finances. So what is your why? We're going to dive in here to a case study that's going to really help you paint this picture and apply it to your own situation. And now that you've seen some of these principles and reasoning behind how to develop your financial why, let's look at it through a real case study of Olivia's story. Her story is going to demonstrate the struggle that a lot of us face with saving for future goals and enjoying your present quality of life. We're going to dive deep into how you can apply what we've talked about so far today to make meaningful change. So let's continue this and get into Olivia's case study. Let's dive into the case study. Today we're talking about Olivia, the 28-year-old software developer who recently landed a position at a mid-sized tech company after completing her master's degree 3 years ago. Her salary increased to $85,000 after a promotion, which is up from her salary of $65,000. Let's outline her financial situation, and you can see these things, of course, on screen. So be sure to check out the video version of this podcast on Spotify or YouTube if you want to get a little bit more detail with the case study. But of course, I'll make sure to explain everything. So those of you listening, you can continue listening. Let's talk about the financial situation. Like I said, her current income is $85,000. Student loan debt, she has $42,000 remaining, which was originally at $55,000. Her current rent is $1,600 per month for a one-bedroom apartment. Her emergency fund is $10,000, which is approximately 2 months of expenses. Her retirement contribution is 22% of her 401k. Go Olivia, this is fantastic. The company matches 5%, so that is something to be aware of. But 22% into her 401k is pretty impressive. That's a topic we're going to come back to for sure later in this case study, because that might be something that she needs to lower. She's saving $200 a month into a high yield savings account. This financial situation looks good. She's saving for retirement, has an emergency fund. The student loan is in an insane amount of money. You're doing pretty good here, Olivia. So let's keep going into what is the actual problem here. Well, the conflict for Olivia is that she's been following the generic blanket advice of max out your retirement accounts no matter what. And that's the first thing and only thing she needs to do. Even though this is pretty good financial advice, Olivia says that she still feels financially stretched despite her good income. She can't save meaningfully for a down payment near her family's neighborhood because she wants to live there. She is actually declining going to family gatherings because they aren't in the budget. Isn't that something we talked about with Lance and Alyssa? She feels guilty spending money on anything that's not essential, even though she has plenty of money, but her aggressive savings rate is leaving her in a bit of a pickle. She's experiencing decision fatigue with every single purchase that she makes. There's some going back and forth. Should I return this? Should I not return this? What do I need to do in order to feel good with my money? That's the main question that Olivia is asking here. Now let's talk about the initial mistake in terms of her financial why. That's what we've been talking about this whole episode. And when asked about her financial why, Olivia says, I want to feel financially secure and be able to retire comfortably. But this vague, distant goal isn't providing any meaningful motivation for her to stay on course or stay consistent to her current decisions. So after some deeper reflection and those three questions that I posed earlier in the episode, Olivia realizes that her true values and priorities are family connection, establishing roots in her hometown with eventual home ownership. That's a big value for her here. And she wants to reduce stress and realize that she has enough money to live on and that she has enough to prioritize other things, maybe spend on a vacation or something she really wants, and eventually spend on a house. So after we make this clear why, how can Olivia rebalance and how could you rebalance in a similar situation? Well, like I mentioned, that 401k contribution, it's coming down. Her 401k contributions for Olivia went down from 22% to 12%, which is still well above the company match, which is the number everyone tells you to get. Let me do a quick side tangent on why you should get the company match. You need to make sure you're getting your company match because that is part of your compensation plan. You need to make sure you're taking advantage of that company match because it's money they're willing to pay you. And if you leave it on the table, it's probably just going to go back into the deep pockets of your employer or potentially get redistributed to other people in your retirement plan. But either way, you want to make sure you're actually getting the money that you deserve. A good rule of thumb, and we're going to be cautious about rule of thumbs here because that's what got Olivia in this pickle in the first place, was the rule of thumb of max out your retirement accounts. Well, a decent one that you can get started with is get the company match, then move over to a Roth IRA or potentially an HSA, and then go back to your 401k. That's a decent starting point, but of course, work with a financial planner or a financial coach on your specific financial situation. And if you want to ask me some questions about it, please reach out. The email, of course, is in the show notes. But Olivia was doing great, And guess what? Olivia is still doing great because she's still contributing a high amount to her 401k. 22%, that is a lot of money to put into a 401k. I often recommend people start higher than they think they should because your lifestyle is going to adjust. Go read the book Automatic Millionaire. That's going to give you some great reasoning to start higher and then work your way back. But the great thing for Olivia, she is realizing that she can work her way back down and begin to save in other places. Olivia is realizing that she needs to create a dedicated home down payment fund with an automatic transfer of $800 a month. Hooray for automation. Always a point in the right direction when you're setting up something automatically. Olivia is now setting up family events and a family events sinking fund or bucket with $150 per month for gatherings, gifts, and celebrations to be able to enjoy the time with her family and be able to contribute to it in a meaningful way with some money that she has set aside for that specific purpose. And she's also realized that she needs to develop a debt payoff plan to be able to get those student loans out of her life because they're a priority too. They're something that's always been nagging Olivia in the back of her mind. And I know that's a problem that Rebecca and I have dealt with, is those student loans, they just hang out there. They're like this problem and nag that just will not go away. Do you feel that way about your student loans? Let me know down in the comments on YouTube or Spotify how you feel about your student loans. And if there's someone out there that says, I love my student loans, please let me know as well, because I'd be interested to talk to you, because I've had to deal with paying on student loans with Nelnet, and that was enough to make me hate student loans. So now for Olivia, she's realized that the debt payoff plan to get those out of her life is going to be a good thing for her. So she was able to take this 22% 401k contribution and reprioritize her entire financial life around her values and goals once she was able to realize those. And that 10% difference that she's now not contributing to her 401k is allowing her to save for a house. It's allowing her to contribute to family events and save money for family events. And it's also allowing her the third thing of paying off her student loans. So there's so much more that your money could be doing. If you have it trapped all in one place, figuring out your financial why can help you understand how to prioritize and balance all these different goals. And after you figure out how to prioritize and balance all these different goals, you're going to have a whole lot of great results and great things come from understanding your financial why. For Olivia, there was a practical, emotional, relationship, and long-term impact. The practical one is she's now able to save for a home down payment. The emotional one is there's way less anxiety around her money, and she feels more connected with her family than ever. Same thing goes with that relational impact. She's now able to spend money on her friends and family and enjoy community outings and family events. And the long-term outlook, her retirement is going to be just fine. 12% into her 401k is going to do a whole lot of good, but especially if you're just getting started, that amount allows you some money before it really matters to start thinking about how am I going to save for retirement. If you already have a sizable nest egg there, it makes the conversation a whole lot easier. Because most people start saving for retirement in their 30s, but they really start taking it seriously in their 40s and 50s when they're looking right down the barrel of retirement and they don't have any money saved. So just get started. Set that number a little higher than maybe you'd be comfortable with and then work it back down. Figure out your goals so that you're spending money in the way that you want to be spending, and then do like Rebecca and I do and ruthlessly cut away at things that don't align with your values. Now, what lessons can we learn from Olivia's case? One of the main things that she learned is that generic financial advice often fails to account for individual values, retirement isn't the only financial goal, and a clear why makes trade-offs way, way, way less stressful. Financial alignment with your values is going to lead to increased happiness, and automated savings are always a win. I want to go back to the goal that Olivia mentioned, that retirement isn't the only financial goal for a young professional, because there is so much more that you can do with that money if you start thinking about it. And that right there is one of the main goals that I have with this podcast, is helping young adults like you and me realize that there is so much more to our money than just saving for retirement or financial independence or spending it or whatever you think. If there's one way to do money, that's not true. There's a lot of ways that you can manage your money, and there's different seasons. For my wife and I, we're saving for a different goal right now than we even thought we would be saving for 2 years ago. And things change. That is the one constant in life, and especially with your money. Whatever plan you figure out, plan for it to change, because it will. And retirement isn't the only goal that you need to strive after. There's so many other goals that you can adjust and change to, because maybe for a season, Olivia kicks that retirement savings back up to 22%, and then maybe brings it down to 5% at one point because she needs to save for something else. We can do whatever we want. You don't have to set it once in your life and leave it like that forever. That is the exciting part about managing money and thinking about it and working with a planner, is you can adjust and change your mind whenever you want. Of course, when life changes, you're gonna be a whole lot more prepared for it. So to wrap up this case study, I got a few discussion points that I wanna talk about with each one of you. First one is, how much retirement is enough at different career stages? The second one is, how do you balance long-term goals with quality of life priorities? The third one is, create financial structures that allow you to prioritize your most important relationships. And the last one is, what's the role of location and community in financial planning? But let's go back to that first one and make sure you take each one of these and have a conversation with your family and friends, because it might help you learn some interesting things about them, but also some interesting ideas about how you can handle your money. So that first one is, how much retirement savings is enough at different stages? Well, if you look this question up, the one thing I realized is that it's all written wrong. You need to make sure you're considering how much you're spending. For example, Forbes had an article that talked about how if you're making $80,000 per year at age 30, you need $70,000 saved for retirement. This does nothing to address your spending needs. It assumes that you're living on less than you make when you retire, but who knows how much you're actually going to spend? Without tracking your spending, understanding how much money you're spending, you're not going to know how much you actually need for retirement. Make sure you think about how much money you actually need for retirement to spend. Once you learn that, you're going to be able to figure out how much you need to save for retirement. Most young adults care more about financial independence than retirement. And financial independence doesn't care how much money you make right now. It cares how much money you spend. 25 times your annual expenses is the rule of thumb for retirement savings. It's not 25 times your annual income. It's 25 times your annual spending. So make sure when you're thinking about how much is enough for retirement savings, you're thinking about how much money you spend each year. But the next discussion point is, how do you balance long-term goals with quality of life priorities? This is the hardest thing. My wife and I are constantly working on this. Make sure you're not taking just blanket advice. Blanket advice doesn't necessarily address the human nature of all of this. Maybe you're someone who loves to save for retirement. It comes easy to you, and spending is the hard thing. I know that so many people in this community, especially if you're seeking out money podcasts, it's likely that you're decent with money already. And maybe spending is the hard part. Well, blanket advice to max out your retirement account is going to be easy for you. You're going to hit that goal. You're going to feel great that you hit it. And then you're not, because you're not going to have that why behind you. You're not going to have true values that are aligned with what you want to do with your money. And that's going to be a real pain point for you. So make sure you are balancing your long-term goals with your quality of life, because there is a balance there and it can be found. You can do this. My wife and I are working hard on it. And trust me, you can do it as well. I want to add another point into the automation column with this next one. Create financial structures that prioritize your values and relationships and whatever you actually want to spend money on. Sinking funds, buckets, whatever you want to call them. Let's set up some systems together. Set up a system that's going to allow you to save money for what you really want to do with your money, and you won't be able to fathom the value that you're going to get by being able to spend money on that thing that you truly value and that true why behind your money. If you need help setting these up, please contact me. I'd be happy to help you get these set up. They're very easy, very simple, and I'd be happy to show you. And then in Olivia's case, what is the role of location and community in your financial plan? For Olivia, that was very important and led her to wanting to save for a home that was maybe a little more expensive than she really wanted, but the location of it and the value of being near her family and those relationships far outweighs the extra money you're going to pay in interest or anything else like that. So consider the value of location and community. Are you moving away to an area of cheaper cost of living to get a higher paying job? Or maybe you're moving to somewhere that doesn't align with your values because you don't want to live in a city, but that's where the highest paying job is, right? Are you just seeking money for the status and moving to somewhere where there's no community or potential relationships or location is subpar? Make sure you're considering in your financial plan, how does location and community impact this? Because what if you later want to move back? That could be a whole lot more expensive than moving out just to realize you want to move back. I don't think we put enough value on community and the people around us and our relationships. That's just a food for thought right there at the end of the episode. But please consider the role of location and community in your financial plan. And another thing to consider the value of is this podcast. This podcast is brand new. So I need you to subscribe to help grow the show. Please leave a comment down below, like, subscribe, and share to help this show get off the ground. And the podcast launches today with 4 other episodes. So there's 4 more episodes about financial planning for young adults for you to go and enjoy. And let me tell you, the one where I made my wife cry about money is going to keep you glued to your seat, because that one is pretty intense and kind of fun, and you're going to learn a whole lot. So do you have any questions from this episode? Leave a comment down below on Spotify or YouTube, or send me an email, and I promise I will personally respond to every single question left on these launch day episodes, and very likely every episode left in the future. But right now is a special deal. You're going to get a reply 100% guaranteed if you leave a comment on today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Crafting Your Financial Why. Remember, when you align your spending with your values, the money you spend becomes an investment in what truly matters to you. Take some time this week to reflect on those 3 powerful questions that we discussed and start building your financial decisions around your deepest values. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with someone else who might benefit. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Have a great week. And hey, quick heads up. This podcast, it's meant to be educational and it's for entertainment purposes. It's not personalized financial advice for your specific situation. So before you go out and make any big money moves, make sure you chat with a qualified financial professional who knows your full financial picture.